On this episode of Heads in the Cloud, we talk with Sean Putterster, the VP of Global Service Providers of Polycom, about what his take is on the industry, where it's going, and a little bit about what Polycom is innovating. So stay tuned.
Heads in the Cloud. With your hosts, David Portnowitz and Graham Potter.
All right, welcome to episode 5 of...
Seriously, it's episode 5
episode
already?
Episode 5 already. We're Heads in the Cloud podcast with David Portnowitz and...
I'm Graham Potter.
And we're coming to you live from beautiful Sarasota, Florida, although the last week has not...
Tell me about it.
403 inches of rain
I've
or something.
I've moved to a new house. Yeah. I think I'm in a little castle with a moat all the way around it.
Yeah, it's been,
nearly floated out. I had a sort of... struggle to get out the driveway. So.
Well, today we're joined by a really cool guest, Sean Putterster, who is the VP of Global Service Providers of Polycom. We're looking forward to having a great conversation with him about what Polycom's doing to stay ahead of the game, what their innovation looks like,
sure.
what the market's doing. And
somebody we worked with for a long time. I mean, both Polycom and Sean.
I'm looking forward to talking to Sean about, you know, sort of how Polycom, you know, differentiates themselves from what's happening in the marketplace and that commoditization.
Yeah, a lot of new players out there. We talked to Matt Hickey fairly recently of VTech.
And so shout
VTech's
out.
A new player that we're working with, relatively new into this space, nowhere near as long as Polycom have. I mean, they've been around in the voice space for many, many years. Really known for high quality products, you know, they built their business around that. They built their business around conferencing, and over recent years, a lot of video emphasis as well.
I'm asking you this because you know better than I. I mean, are they big in the contact center space?
Not specifically contact. But the endpoints.
Yeah.
I mean, as devices.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. As a device.
Well, think of our solution with StarSender 2. Mm-hmm. You know, we've sold. If you look at what we sell out the door today, what leaves our dock, I think I'll say this probably later on, is 77% of what we push out the door. And a lot of that goes into contact centers at the lower end devices, and we do some unique things with the device. We use a micro browser on the phone and do some different displays and settings on the device. So that works pretty well when you're using it's just an industry standard device.
And so, you know, you have worked really closely with the Polycom guys over the last 11 years. You know, what have you seen from them? What impresses you about them?
It's interesting. Having worked with them right through the early years of those early SoundPoint devices, and then coming on to the newer range, which is the VVX range, which we were able to influence with their product teams and some of their senior folks at Polycom. They put a strong emphasis back on their development and engineering teams. I work very closely with the gentleman that heads up the development team for endpoints worldwide. In fact, we've had people here from their development organizations, and our folks have been on video calls with them. So they put a lot of emphasis on that. They put a lot of emphasis on new features, some of the innovation they brought in. I think has also come out of the video world as well.
They were pretty focused on being a video company for a bit.
You know, I think almost to the detriment of the voice side for a while. I'm very happy to say that they put a lot more emphasis and a lot more dollars into the development for endpoints, and as you know, they went through all that.
Yeah, they had that thing last year with
Mitel.
They have new owners now.
New owners, Cirrus Capital. So I think that's good for them. So a lot of changes there. But yeah, a player that we've known for many, many years. You know, a strong partner that we work with. As I say, very high proportion of what we market and sell is Polycom based. Good reason for that, you know. It's a name, it's a brand that people instantly recognize. So,
yeah, and it's one of those things where the customer feels comfortable, and so
I think
so.
I think that's part of it. That said, you know, the world's being shaken up. There's a lot of new players out there. People are prepared to try things. You know, it's not always based upon that sort of solid, robust, top-end device. Some people are looking for cost savings. Some people are prepared to do different things.
Do you think Polycom would ever get into, I mean, into the soft phone, the software space? I mean, is that something you could see?
I think that's an interesting thing for any of these endpoint companies to see, because, you know, the world's gone that way.
Yep.
You know, the advent of things like WebRTC, mm-hmm. where people are just using browser-based devices. And, you know, the world's pushing people that way. And so why wouldn't those players want to keep a piece of that market share and put their secret sauce, as I always like to call it, into that type of device? So who knows?
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, you have to look at how is it going to cannibalize any sales?
Sure.
You know, is it, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting. Yeah. I would love to be in, a fly in that room for that debate in Polycom and listen to what they're talking about and how they make those decisions. And I think that'd be very interesting. Maybe we can get Sean to give us some of that information. We'll try.
Maybe we can try and pry it out of him.
We promise that we're going to try.
Personally, I don't think you're going to get anything like that. So that's just based on your prediction? Personally, that's my prediction.
Yeah. Yeah, you're pretty good at predicting
I'm pretty good
things,
at predicting like that, because being an old seasoned chap.
A veteran,
yes.
But you're not actually, I mean, in fighting a war.
No. Just old. Just old in years, so unlike you.
And today's the first day. The first day we're wearing
our new Heads in the Cloud t-shirts.
Now, if you want to win a t-shirt, I don't know. Just email us and ask.
But I don't know. Random game to win a t-shirt. These shirts.
Give us a shout out on Twitter.
Yeah, please do.
And if you're a lucky individual, aka someone who does this, we will send you a t-shirt. And
I mean, the loudest.
They're beautiful shirts.
They're a beautiful blue. They've got emblazoned on the front left hand side. They've got.
We'll put a picture up.
That little caricature picture of me with the spiky hair and David sort of just coming, popping his head up above the cloud. But just imagine you're at a concert and you shout loudly from the audience, and the musician or whoever's on stage throws that t-shirt out to you.
You're going
to
want it.
So you need to shout loud,
yeah,
right? So get out there. And
you just went to see Ed Sheeran, right?
I did, yeah.
And how did you feel? How did that concert
go?
Well,
I asked him about appearing on Heads in the Cloud, but he didn't give me he said he'd get right back to me on that one, so we'll see.
He's probably going to be on.
I'll tell you, he's a megastar now, that man.
So that would really probably, Heads in the Cloud would be his first stop then, if he's a megastar.
Quite possibly, yeah. Quite possibly.
So. Right after he did Game of Thrones, right? He did Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
now I know you haven't watched Game of Thrones. You're not a Game of Thrones watcher.
I don't know.
You're missing out.
Am I missing something?
You are missing out. There are dragons. There's zombies.
Are you a better man for watching Game of Thrones?
I'm the best man for watching Game of Thrones.
All righty.
All right. Well, we're going to go now to our conversation with Sean.
Yeah, a lot of Sean.
I think
this is what? Episode number five.
I think he's calling in right now. It's
so
an
cool.
urgent phone call we have
All
to take.
Right.
So stay tuned for a great conversation with Sean Putterster of Polycom.
So with us today is a new guest, Sean Putterster, who is the VP Global Service Providers for a company that we all know very, very well, begins with P, ends with M, and it's Polycom. And we've known Sean for a number of years, I think almost since we've started the business in 06. So Sean, welcome. So why don't you give us a little bit of background on yourself, a bit of a bio will be useful for the audience.
Okay, sounds great. Graham and David, pleasure to join you guys today, and thanks for including me in this series of Heads in the Cloud. So I've been with, you're exactly right, Graham. I started with Polycom back in 2009, but I've been in the voice industry for over 30 years now. I spent a lot of my time on the premise side, over 20 years at Siemens Enterprise Communications. And I made the move over to hosted back in 2009, for the same reasons your customers are moving from premise-based equipment over into the hosted world as well, because that's where the growth is going. That's where the applications are going. That's where the exciting part of the industry is. And it's really paid huge dividends for what I've seen in my career over the last, almost 8 years now since I joined. And I'm a voice warrior. I've been in the business for over 30 years. Right now,
Yeah, exactly.
Not young like a David, right?
No, David's the young guy here. So, we're constantly aging, though. We're working around us, but yeah, we've been around the industry for a number of years. But fascinating changes to see what's gone on. So we hope to understand a bit more about that. So
So presently my responsibilities at Polycom, Graham, are I've got sales responsibility. My team supports all the service providers in the United States and also CALA, so Caribbean and Latin America. And I've got global responsibilities for developing voice programs to help the voice business grow through our service providers worldwide. So that's kind of my role within Polycom.
So very cool. So Polycom, you know, we work with since we started the business in 06, yeah, all the way back to those early years with SoundPoints. Now moving forward under new ownership, obviously very much in the news last year. So what does Polycom do to stay abreast of the competition without you giving away any trade secrets? But, you know, obviously the name of the game nowadays is to innovate, to do as much as you can to really stay ahead of the competition. So I'm interested in your general views on that and the marketplace, Sean.
Well, the marketplace, as Star2Star knows very well, is doing extremely well. So you know, over the last, you know, all the analysts, and I know that you had some on your series of calls here. It's been growing at you know, 24% CAGR over the last, you know, 5 years, and they're estimated to do that continue for the next 5+ years. So the industry is extremely healthy. Polycom itself, since I got here in 2009, we've had over 40% CAGR over that period of time. So some of it is right place, right time, because the industry has grown. But the reason why Polycom is able to outpace the market is because our focus in the areas that you exactly touched on, innovation, right? So it comes first, you know, from a service provider standpoint, make sure you got the right quality products and the most reliable in the industry. And Polycom does a very, very good job with that. We're number one in the OpenSIP desktop market, as well as conference phones. So that's a market that we know extremely well. And I think our partners and their customers see that in the marketplace, and that's benefited us tremendously. The other thing that I think that the kind of the record shows is with over 70% market share with the top service providers in the U.S. marketplace, meaning 7 out of every 10 OpenSIP device from the top service providers in the U.S., or Polycom products. So I think that kind of points towards what you're asking, what do we focus on, right? And it's innovation. It's one thing to you know, we were the first ones with the HD voice, so we came out with HD voice. But that's more than codecs, right? I mean, some of the competition does that as well, having HD codecs available. But you know, what we do is you know, we've got over 800 patents in this area. And we really tend to focus on everything that makes that sound quality better. So whether it's the plastics, the size of the cavity, the shape of the cavity, using solder versus glue. So you know, number one is quality. Number two is reliability. And then after that, what we're talking about is like you said, Graham, is innovation. And that's where Polycom really tries to make sure that we've got a good track record as far as things that we've done. But also things that we're trying to do in the future as well.
So is that future, are you focused on the desktop phone? Are you focused on the conference phone? Are you focused on, are you guys looking at soft phones? Or, you know, what is, you know, if you could give us a little idea of sort of what your guys thinking is in terms of what's happening in this space. Because yeah. I just saw some numbers yesterday from Frost and Sullivan where conferencing, you know, might be slightly down from an audio conference standpoint, but then again, maybe the hardware might be a little up. So, you know, it's interesting to see where the market's going. It might be a little bit flat in the conferencing space. So, just sort of understand where you guys see that future. Is it the desk? Is it the, you know, the single desk phone, the soft phone, the conference phone? Is it a mix of all three, or how do you see that?
Yeah, no, it's a good question, David. I think that it is a mix. You know, we're definitely focused in both areas, you know, both from an OpenSIP desktop device standpoint as well as the conference phones. If you look at some of the things, I'll go backwards a little bit and then I'll try to move forward. So you know, backwards is you know, as this industry first started taking off and like you said, Graham, back in 2006, it was really more of a kind of an OPEX type purchase. It was using OPEX dollars versus capital dollars. It was less expensive than premise based, those type of things. But as the service providers well know, the industry's changed a lot, and now the end users are saying, you know, going forward, you know, we really want productivity from an employee productivity standpoint, and also customer satisfaction. So both the service providers as well as the desktop manufacturers have had to raise their game. So we've come out with things like noise block. So noise block allows you to, and it first started in the video technology standpoint, where somebody's opening up a bag of chips, right, or hitting on the keyboard. It kind of blocks that, and we move that from the video world into the voice world. And then we come out with acoustic fence, which creates a bubble around the person on the phone. And that blocks out in a you know, heavy call center environment, everything around that person, or even a teleworker today that's working from home, the dog barking or the doorbell ringing. So we're able to do stuff like that. But David, to answer your question as far as, you know, going forward and which path do you go, conference rooms or desktop, we do both, and we try to share that innovation and technology in both areas. And our focus is really on, you know, a couple areas. Number one, your customers, okay? And it's difficult to do in this kind of a public forum, you know, but we certainly have these conversations with Star to Star as far as specifics. But anything that makes that UI interface with that with the end user customer to make the technologies and the enhancements easier to do and more natural. I think that's where, you know, we're focused going forward. We're constantly looking to improve our product lines, right? So to make sure that we've got the best looking phone out there with the highest quality, but also to make sure that the UI interfaces are very natural. And certainly I'm talking about the desktop there, but also the conference room. So when we came out with the Trio conference line a year and a half ago, you know, that's a device that again, we're very focused on the user interface, but that's something that's not just a high-quality conference room device, but also a collaboration device that can be used for video sharing and collaboration for the end users. And again, the focus is on make sure that it's very natural and it's very easy to use with an Android device there to connect the laptop with the Trio device.
Yeah, such a very different, you know, for our audience, a very different form factor to one that we've seen before, and one that we're about to finally bring out. Sean, I'll give you the update as well, and our audience. So we're through a QA cycle, and so we're real close to making that a device that we will market and sell. But for anybody that hasn't seen it, do yourself a favor and look online. It's a very futuristic looking device, as Sean said. It's Android operating system. So if you took a looked at something like a Samsung or some smartphone like that and use that as the phone's display, that's what you're seeing. But the speaker quality on it, there's a sub built into the device. It'll pair with Bluetooth. It uses some of the newer technologies out there, NFC, near field communication. It's got some really cool features on it, and I think it really shows, you know, the stable that it comes from Polycom, and that's where you guys really made your name. And ironically, that's where the original logo came from, that series of conference phones, the triangle shape interwoven together. That was the original logo. It's a really nice looking device, and it's interesting as well. You know, you're talking about market share, you're talking about you know, staying competitive, the quality that we've learned to expect from Polycom. You know, from our perspective, still today, you know, when we started all those years ago with Polycom, with the early SoundPoint devices like the 430, the 501, you represent a good 77% of our business. What leaves our dock today is Polycom based, and I think there's good reason for that. You know, your name is, and I always say this on training courses, the exact same words is synonymous with the conferencing world. People get to expect that quality. But I think the challenge for you, your company, and for anybody else in the space is staying competitive when the world's fighting on price and everybody's trying to drive the price down to zero.
It's a commoditization,
becomes that. And so what do you do differently to try and stay ahead of the competition? You mentioned a few things. Acoustic fence is a classic example. That's a very cool piece of technology. When I first saw that at one of the Team Polycom events. It was fascinating to see that and really come out of the video world. But just those sorts of things to stay on the edge.
Yeah,
to stay
competitive. How do you, it's like the customer, sometimes the customer may not care what the phone is on their desktop. So, if you're competing solely on price, that can be a challenge. I know you guys have introduced some lower end phones to help sort of get into that bid process. But, take us through sort of how do you differentiate yourself when the market is getting, I almost say like a race to the bottom.
Yeah, David, you're exactly right. Right. So I mean, you try to rise above that. Certainly what you do is you take a look at your product line and you say, is there something we could do to manufacture our product line differently to take some costs out? So any manufacturer would look at that, and so without reducing the quality for sure, especially when you're a Polycom. So you do everything you can, and then what you try to do is justify the delta, and which is what you have to do, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
But our focus is on the end user. The other things we try to do though also to add value is also focus on the service provider. Right. So to innovate ways that we can help the service providers experience also, from a logistics standpoint or a manageability of their networks. Because you look at star to star and you look at the number of Polycom devices that you have out there, over the last, 10 plus years, how do you manage that? And so we're certainly looking at technologies to help the service providers. And the last thing we try to do is to justify that delta, David, that you're alluding to, and not race to the bottom. Is to do some solution customization, right? So as the service providers are getting more and more successful moving upstream into the enterprise market, they're coming away with some really, legitimate business applications that need to be co-developed with us and a platform provider like a Star to Star. So solution customization is an area that's extremely important and one that we're developing areas of expertise on here. And that's why we do stuff like last year we put a Starbucks star-to-star solution into our labs because we want to, number one, make sure that any kind of quality testing is done before it's released to your customers, right? But it also allows us to do some software customization as you come to us with a large opportunity and with a customer with a business need. We can have our engineers work around the clock on something like that. To help us each, position ourselves for a win. So it's those kind of things, David and Graham, that I think Polycom tries to do to make sure that we remain the leaders that we are in this space.
And some of that development resource that you refer to there that we've spoken to, I personally have been on calls and our own support team have been on video calls, and we've seen folks here from that team are based out of Hyderabad in India.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and you've got technical resource also in Vancouver, I know,
and so
pretty large scale team there that have worked with Star to Star very, very closely. So.
So what do you see, what are you guys working on? What's in your lab? What are you excited about, without giving too much away, obviously?
What can you tell us? Yeah, what can you tell us about without
what's an area is? Do you know what's in Area 51? Can you tell us about that? Is that something you're privy to as well?
Yeah. So I think, this is a tough forum for us to get anything specific, and I know you guys are kidding a little bit. So it's things that if you look at other areas of the communication industry, like the cell phone devices and such, and you look at some of the UI interfaces, in those areas, and to take that and kind of put it on steroids a little bit and bring it into a business environment. How do you make it easier for the end users? Again, it starts with the customer. I mean, all of the applications we talk about, whether it's video, collaboration, voice, what we try to do with our engineers is put your customer in the middle and figure out, okay, what's the technology? What business problem is it going to solve? And then how do they use it? How is it a natural use of that? And what's challenging with what we're facing today and what we're going to be facing in the next 5 years is there's so many generations in the workforce, right? Forbes just had an article, generation number 5 is coming into the workforce soon. So there's a lot of different needs from a technology application standpoint that customers have, and they're going to the service provider saying, boy, my employees really need to implement that kind of technology this way versus what, the baby boomers are doing or something like that.
Generation number five, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that amazing? So
I don't even know what that means. Is that like 10-year-old?
No. It's the generation after the millennials, right? So it's that next generation that's coming into the workforce, you know, and as millennials move up into the middle ranks of management or above, right? You're still going to have the baby boomers on down there. And again, it's different needs and different different desires as far as how do I, and also just how you grow up, right? I mean, you know, and we see that David, you versus Graham and I, right? You know, some of the technologies that are second nature to you, is stuff that Graham and I had to learn. So
yeah,
we did. It's really interesting. I having go back to the very, very early years and David, you know, a lot of the stuff I was talking to David about.
Yeah.
You find out David was still at school.
I have a computer and Graham's a typewriter now.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
that's
it's,
right.
It's,
and so, you know, you're going to school with your shiny little metal lunchbox. But it's just fascinating. And there's a whole generation of youngsters growing up. And I said this before, that don't know anything about a home phone, never had a landline. You know, and so their world is totally reliant on that mobile device. Mobility means such an important thing, and it does really going forward. So
I think collaboration too. I think you touched on collaboration with the trio, and I think some of the things that we've seen from a collaboration standpoint. I mean, if you look at the success of companies like Slack and those folks, I mean, the collaboration is what people are really looking for. They want to be able to work in these sort of like segmented teams or departments and kind of like run the business through those departments. And I think that's really exciting.
We talked a bit about this with Sheila McGee-Smith recently, you know, automation and bots and things like that. The world that people expect a lot more now out of communication. And if that doesn't happen, then you find yourself, and I know I do, you find yourself being extremely critical about, you know, how a company's being run or the lack of use of technology and what have you. So it's a fascinating world.
It can get frustrating quickly.
It certainly can. So Sean, we're close to kind of wrapping up, conscious of the time with you. Really appreciate you.
I know you said you're catching a flight to Venezuela. Is that what you said?
No, I did not say that.
So here, I got a quick fun question for you.
Yeah.
You and I spoke a little while ago, actually, when I was starting to clear up my house on my move to Sarasota, and you were out driving a shiny new Corvette.
Yes.
Did you end up buying one or not?
I
you
did. No, I did. But the only reason I didn't is because as you know,
the wife find out.
No, nothing like that. She was very supportive. So, I live half the year in Cape Cod and half the year in Naples. So it would be a Florida car. So I'll be back in the car buying marketplace here.
You can garage it with mine. It'd be like a wind double, like a pair. You know, as you know, I'm a Corvette driver, so we can.
I know you are. That's why you were the first one I called, right? So when I started test driving, I go, Graham, what do you think? Talk me out of this.
I can't do that. So send our best regards to
your
wife.
And did you catch the Game of Thrones finale, Sean?
Yes.
So what did you think?
For those
of you who haven't seen it yet, which by the time this comes out, if you haven't seen it, that's your own problem. We're going to have spoilers. So I can't be spoiler free now. We're like 72 hours past the finale. So I mean, dragons, ice. I mean,
it's amazing. I think they're doing a phenomenal job on it. I think once they got past the books, I think the episodes are moving quicker,
quick, I think people teleport on the show now.
Yeah, exactly. How did they get from point A to point B, where it used to take them two seasons, right? They do it in half an episode now. So,
except for the White Walkers, they move at the pace of they move glacially, I guess I should say, right? It's a little bit of a cold joke.
Yeah.
So Sean, really appreciate you taking the time with us. So much so that I'm going to send you, or David and I are going to send you a beautiful...
Let's be honest. Frederick's going to send a shirt. Yeah.
Well, Fred's going to send you a T-shirt.
We're not actually going to do that.
This is a T-shirt exclusive to Heads in the Cloud, and I ask...
Heads in the Cloud members.
Heads in the Cloud members. Yeah. And I'm asking you two things. One, you've already participated in this in this podcast. We really appreciate you taking the time to do that. And the second thing is, when we send you the shirt, we'd love you to send us a photograph of you wearing that, either in the workplace or something fun.
Or in the Corvette.
So in the Corvette or whatever. Okay. So all the best to you, Sean. Best regards to your wife. Catch up with you one of these days in Naples again, hopefully. And thank you so much.
Thanks, Sean. Yeah.
Thanks for your time.
Thank
both
you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So we just had a fantastic conversation with Sean Putterster, who is the VP Global Service Providers for Polycom. And Polycom has been with us since the beginning,
since 06.
And Sean, he said he came on in 09. And
pretty early on, yeah.
Yeah, and we have a pretty, you know, we have a very in-depth relationship with them. And, you know, they have been very kind to us, and we've helped them with the development of their products as well.
We worked with them in the early years, and when the SoundPoint range came out, it's been around for a while, we worked with them, what became the Vino range, which ultimately ended up being the VVX range. So we spent a lot of time working with their product people, figuring out what was the best way to go. So interesting talking to Sean about, you know,
what's
next. Yeah,
and look, I think...
He wouldn't give away any
no secrets. Sure. Yeah, he was. But I think, you know, look, they have a challenge, right? I mean, they have to figure out a way to continue to differentiate themselves in a market that is, you know,
pushy on price.
Yeah, and on price, you have customers that may not be as picky as to what's on their desktop. I mean, like if the quality is good enough, maybe they're happy with saving a couple $100 here and there. Then again, you do have customers that are going to pay that extra that want to have that premium phone. Yeah. And look, we got lots and thousands of customers at Star2Star that are happy that want to have that Polycom device.
Yeah, that brand name speaks volumes.
And the quality is
they sell on the quality.
Yeah,
they certainly do. And there's obviously an infrastructure to support because of that. But they are very, very cool devices. And as you say, you know, we've known them for a long time. We've built a tremendous relationship and rapport with them all the way through the business, from sales up through their marketing and into the development organizations as well.
But they have, you know, there's more competition than ever with...
Oh, I think, you know...
Yealink and VTech and Grandstream.
We've had conversations about this so far during this podcast series. And I think the whole marketplace is open for players that are coming in. I think I mentioned before, people like Samsung who've never really been in this marketplace, taking some of the functionality and features that they got in some of their, you know, smart devices and putting that into a desktop, you know, a device that people are very familiar with, but not so familiar with some of those newer technologies. So.
And I think that's why they have to continue to innovate in the video space, in the collaboration space, they may have to do some more integration with smartphones. I mean, you know, and then they know that. I mean, they're a very smart company. They got lots of good people, and they've got some cool innovations coming. So,
it's interesting. You talk about video. I mean, Sean touches on that in the call, and he talks about compound annual growth rate for the business. I can vividly remember going to a Polycom team event probably 3-4 years ago. And looking at some of the financials out there, and the line that was going up and growing was actually the endpoints, physical devices, phones, and the video line was pretty much on a level.
So a lot of innovation. Flat, you think?
Yeah, a lot of innovation in there, and there's still a thing out there. You know, a lot of people use video. A lot of people use video in their home lives. Mm-hmm. You know, Hangouts or. You know, FaceTime, that type of thing. How many people really use that in a workspace environment on a regular basis? That's growing.
I think some companies, it's probably pretty standard to have a video conversation as opposed to just to having like an audio conversation, especially if you've got a pretty remote, diverse workforce that's set up all across the country or globally. I think having the video side is a nice touch. I mean, because you can have that right on your phone, you know, right on your desktop. Sure. You don't have to, there's not a bunch of software applications that you have to implement. You're just right there and go. So I think there are some really cool practical applications for it, especially in today's, you know, super diverse, you know, workspace.
I'm on a video call every week. I have a team call, as you know. I'm working on a project with a new contact center, our Star Center 3, and, you know, not all of the team are in this office. Not all the team are in this country.
Yep.
And so we use that quite heavily. So, but it's an interesting, it's a real interesting dynamic, actually, when you think about using it. I always make this story when I talk to partners and ask them in a room how many people use video, and we all, and I then ask people how many people work at home. And you think about the number of times. I mean, I'm a runner. I get out there and run first thing in the morning. And when I get back, I'm not usually a very, very pretty sight. And so when someone sort of says, "Can you hop on a video call?" You really got to think about those things and what have you. So it's kind of
I think you have different. To get past it, right? I mean, you have to just understand that if you're working. If you're working from home, or if you're on the run a lot, you may not be as presentable as you, no, you know. Look, intended. And there are certain situations where you got to show up and you got to be presentable. But I think you have to just sort of get past it.
Sure.
I mean, but it's an uphill sell in some situations.
Yeah, sure. But interesting talking with Sean. As I say, we've known him for a long time. He's not far from us here. He has a place in Naples.
I thought he was in Italy.
No, that's Naples in Florida. Oh, Naples in Florida. You know, just a little bit of a geography lesson for you there. So, he's a local man, but he also has a place up in Cape Cod. Yeah, so really.
Well, it was a great conversation. And if you guys want to engage with us, please hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on Facebook, email us, check out our website www.headsinthecloudpod.com, and we will catch you next time for David Portnowitz and
Graham Potter for Heads
in
the Cloud.
One of these days we're going to figure it out.
One of these days we'll get it in sync. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.